Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. Pleased to be joined this afternoon by Sherry, who is here to speak with us about the upcoming recording and listening intensive. Welcome, Sherry.
Hey, Jen. Hi.
Hey. So the recording and listening intensive is, of course, part of the fabulous year-long workshop, Learning to Live in This Here Now. And there are two kinds of intensives we've been doing, the recording and listening intensives and the practice intensives. And I thought we might start by just kind of delineating the two opportunities, which is which. How do they work?
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah. So this one, to the folks who may not have participated, we did one in March that was also a recording and listening intensive. These are a little bit different in that with the practice intensive, we have sort of, there's a quote-unquote lesson or an email sent out that has something that we're all going to focus on during the week, and we text and we have a facilitator who's texting us back around what we're looking at. With the recording and listening intensive, what we're doing is actually every day we get something new to look at, and that can come either by email or by text. People get to choose how they want that prompt to come. And so each day we get something new that we're kind of working with that we're going to record and listen about, and then we log in our participation kind of in the same way that we're doing with the high fives. You know, we get to go to a website and log it in. Yeah, so.
Yeah, so fun. To be honest, that's one of my favorite parts. I've discovered about myself in practice that I love the counters and the stickers, and you know what it is? It takes the conditioned conversation out of it. That's what it is.
Wow.
Is that I want to do this. I really want to do this. I know in the deepest place that practice I want to have be the foundation of my entire life. And so then I don't have to think it up how to do that. There's constantly something to focus on. So, you know, practice offers us, well, how about this intensive? Great, sign me up. So we do that, and then the assignment comes. You know, we don't think up what we're going to record and listen to. The assignment comes for the day. We do it, and we mark it off. And so when that conversation starts of, well, I don't know if you really, no, actually, I did, you know, end of conversation.
And you know what, Jen, the thing that just dropped in when you said that, for me, that clicking, and I was just noticing it just with the high five, it's almost like a little pat on the back. Like, honey, way to go, honey. You know, and there's that satisfying little, like, clicking of it, like, yeah, you know.
Yep, exactly.
It's a small thing. Go ahead, sorry.
It's a small thing, uh-huh.
Well, I was going to say it's a small thing, but it's not, because there's something in those clickings that we're, like, really, like, all together.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. But the stickers, you know, my own sticker chart is fabulous, love that. It's all shiny, and the clicker has the added benefit of, and it feels like, you know, my participation is counting towards the whole, which, of course, it always does. But somehow seeing those numbers and realizing, well, in both cases, you know, both with the high five and also with the recording and listening intensive, to realize I'm on a team. And I'm my playing, you know, what I do matters. It counts. It matters.
Yes. I love that. Yeah. Yeah, so it's another one of those fun things, and I love what you said about it being, you know, you didn't use these terms, but like a no-brainer. It's like, okay, here's this opportunity. This is what I'm doing today. You know, we don't have to think. I know for a lot of people, whether you're new to recording and listening or an old-timer, you know, sometimes we get in those places where it's like, oh, now what? You know, what do I record and listen about?
Right.
And so it's just lovely to get a prompt and get to just, oh, you know, where's this take me?
Yeah, exactly. Because, of course, what we're doing in recording and listening and with all of practice is we're just changing the conversation, if you will. We're getting out of the conversation with conditioned mind, and we're getting into, you almost have to use quote marks, but conversation with life. You know, we're learning to communicate with life, from life, be life. You know, Ashwini always uses that image of calibrating to life. And so there, you know, it doesn't matter what we're recording about. So to have that support of each day, how about this? Yeah, okay, great. Look at that. There's always, you know, there's always something. There's always something to see about everything.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, and one of the things that I love about the way that the recording and listening intensive, there are two, you know, in 2015, and the way that they were designed is that the one in March was around transcending resistance. And so that was kind of looking at, you know, what leads us away from suffering. And the one coming up in September is we're really looking at what leads us to freedom. And so I love the way that the two kind of go together. It's okay if, you know, if people don't do both, but it's just such a beautiful way of looking at practice.
It really is. Right. Yes. So it's really important to know what suffering looks like and all the red flags to, you know, wait, hang on. I think I'm in a suffering process. This sounds really familiar. So
right.
It's important to know that territory, right? But we don't want to live our entire lives in not that, right? So we want to look at, gosh, well, what leads us towards freedom? So that is a brilliant progression of the two intensives.
Yeah, so just to get people a little bit interested, so this one we're really going to be directing our attention on this here now. What is it like to be present? How do we experience presence? You know, it's really going to be that beautiful, fun place of really being in this here now.
Oh, so really exploring presence, how to recognize, how to practice staying there, being there.
Exactly. What does it feel like to experience presence? Yeah, and, you know, every day, again, people will get a new prompt that will kind of, you know, give us a different way of exploring this.
Yeah, you know, because often we talk about in practice, it's possible to disidentify and come back to center and be present. And then sometimes we'll hear Sherry give the encouragement, or you could just stay there. You know, not have to leave. So how fun to have a whole week where we can practice staying there together.
And one of the things I just got when you said that, again, I love about the way this is set up is that we get the little prompt in the morning, and then we record and listen about it whenever we do, you know, whenever that works. And then whenever it is that we go back to the website and click that fun little button, we get to re-experience it because hopefully, you know, we can be reminded like, oh, that's what I recorded about, you know?
Yep. Yeah, that's so good. That's perfect, isn't it? So we get to have the experience, and each way, each sort of step in the along the way is a reinforcement of what I actually want to practice, you know? So what we practice is what we have. And so I sign up for the thing, there. That's a statement. I'm practicing. That's what I'm doing. I'm practicing practice. And we get the assignments and we do them. There, that's a reinforcement that what I want is practice. And then we click the thing. There, that's another reinforcement. You know, so each step along the way. And then if we have a sticker chart, of course, you know, at the end of the night, there's going to be a sticker on that. I participated in the RL intensive. So, you know, each step is another reinforcement for the whole being. You know, yes, I'm practicing. Because, of course, the voices are constantly trying to tell us that's not true, or we're not this, or we're not that. But to get to have the experience over and over of it is so important.
There you go. That's it. Yeah, and I love it. It's very simple. You know, I know a lot of times there's, you know, we're practicing in a lot of different ways, and there's a lot of things going on. And this is just a really simple addition to our practice right now. You know, that's the other thing I love about it.
Yeah. So tell us the dates again. What are the sign-ups and how does all that? What's the timeline?
Yeah, so it actually, the program runs from September 14th to the 27th. Registration is open right now, and I will give you, can I just tell you right now how people can go and register if they're interested?
Yes, definitely.
If people are signed up for the year-long retreat, they'll automatically get a confirmation from us. So they obviously don't need to sign up. It's already paid for people who are part of the year-long retreat.
Great.
If people haven't been a part of the year-long retreat, this is what's considered a la carte. And so if you go to schedule.livingcompassion.org, and then you'll see there's something that talks about the year-long retreat, and it'll say a la carte registration. You click on that, and then you scroll down, and it'll say September Talk and Tell, which is what this is called. It's called Talk and Tell.
Okay.
And then people will also be receiving an email next week. So people get an email, and if, you know, they forget to go to the website today, they'll get that email and then be like, oh, yeah, that's right. I really wanted to sign up for that. Boom.
Oh. And the dates are so perfect, aren't they? Because they fit so nicely into the High Five Challenge campaign.
I know.
Those 2 weeks are completely during the campaign. That's very fun.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Excellent. Well, Sherry, that brings us exactly to the top of the hour. Was there anything else that you wanted to mention about it before we turn the show over to Sherry and Michael?
I guess just the other thing I just wanted to just remind people of something that we said, that it's like what we're doing with this is we're really like participating together and we're inspiring each other. And that's so like every time people click just to, you know, sometimes what I do is I love to think of all of us clicking and, you know, to just remember that we're, you know, we all are a team and that this is just a great way to be on the team. So,
Yeah, and just to know that there's thousands of other sincere folks out there who are doing the same thing and being lit up in these same ways and finding freedom in these same ways and coming up against the same challenges that we all have against that ego tries to throw in our way and that we're all on the same course together. Really fun.
Yeah, and there's no right or wrong way to do it. Just, you know, we're just practicing.
Yeah, again, that simple, you know, did I do it? Yes, click, I did it. Doesn't matter, you know, whether it met some condition standards. I did it. Done.
Yeah, so I'm glad. I'm really glad to hear you say that because that's so important. Yes.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks for being with us this afternoon, Sherry. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, Jen. Bye-bye.
Okay, take care. Good night. All right, Michael, and we will go ahead and turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Sherry. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry Huber.
Good afternoon, Michael Gray. I guess we still only have one Michael, huh, even though we have multiple Sherrys.
Yes. How are you? Yeah.
Good. I love that conversation. I just loved it. I am so into click and stickers and stars and hearts and oh my goodness, I just love it. And I love the fact that all this stuff is going together. We can have our high five challenge and we can be doing this other thing and we just, all the stars and the hearts that we can get on our calendar. It's just, and the things we can click. I was looking at that today because I was trying to remember, now when is the last time I went on and added mine to the high five challenge. So I realized I have to mark that in my calendar because I think I can remember now, but the next time I do it, I got to keep track of that so that I don't, you know. And it's so exciting.
Yes, it's great. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Jerry, one thing that's amazing to me, we have so many practice offerings now. You know, I couldn't even remember what talk and tell was. I thought that was the fortunately, Sherry is, you know, explaining and reminding what all the different offerings are. So
yeah.
It's great. It's amazing.
It really is. It really is. And conditioning finds it just totally overwhelming. That we're going to have to bring all this presence and paying attention to life. It's just more than a person can do. And increasingly, we have people who are doing all of these things and just being more present and more aware and happier and feeling better and more lit up and doing more. And also, while all that's going on, being more effective and productive in their work, in their life, with their families, with their friends, with their whatever, you know, being a greater contribution, participating more. So it's not like my choice is, well, I either do all this awareness practice stuff or I live my life. Because, of course, the more we practice, the more we realize that what happens until we do a lot of practice is that most of our life goes to maintaining egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. That's what's going on. I'm stressed and I'm busy. And really what I'm doing is living in a conversation in my head about being stressed and busy. And when we get out of that, we just get here in the moment, then everything becomes very spacious. And I can do a ton of stuff and still feel happy and lit up and excited. And it doesn't take any more time or energy to be aware. It doesn't take any more time or energy to pay attention or to be present. And in fact, what it gives us is time and energy. So it is a good thing. It's a very good thing. I was just talking with Ashwini, as a matter of fact, about, believe it or not, next year and what is going to be the focus of practice for next year. Of course, I think, well, I'm pretty sure we've covered everything, and I'm pretty sure that we're going to have to go on repeat pretty soon. And she's got this whole next year new thing laid out for us. It's exciting, and it's fun, and it's energizing. And when we realize that we can live in practice, again, everything about our lives just expands. So, yep.
Yes, it's great. It is great. And I saw you made reference to it in one of the email responses about next year's focus. So that is just fabulous. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I have some
answers. Michael, it's very possible that what I made reference to is not actually what's going to happen next year.
Okay.
I'm hoping it'll be a part of what happens next year. But this new thing that I just learned about, oi, 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 oi. So maybe there's, you know, we'll see. We'll see what we can fit in. Amazing what we can fit in, right? So, more soon.
I'll just have to pay attention to the moment and see what unfolds then, huh?
Exactly. That's what we're going to be called to do. I can feel it.
Yes.
Yeah. So you have announcements for us?
I do. There are two new group coaching offerings coming up in September. Meals with the Mentor will provide support in bringing awareness to all areas of food.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Shopping, cooking, eating.
Yes, mm-hmm. All of it.
Okay.
And in Transitions with the Mentor, participants will explore changes in their lives and the impact of practice on their experience.
This is great. We're winding up an email class, as thou well knowest, and I'm going to be telling people in the email class, encouraging people to look at coaching and RL trainers to support them, because there are a lot of people who are just starting mentoring recording and listening practice, and people who are new to practice. And so these two opportunities are wonderful opportunities for anyone who has a particular focus, right? So if somebody were to get an awareness coach or an RL trainer to support them in recording and listening practice, then that's great. They would have that. And it would be a general sort of practice that they could bring their own focus to. With this, when we hear one of these group offerings, that's going to be a whole curriculum designed to support people in that specific area. So that's a marvelous opportunity for people with those specific issues.
Oh, wow, mm-hmm. That's great. I didn't realize it came with its own whole curriculum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, curriculum might be too strong a word, but it comes with it a whole, a whole guided focus. Let's just put it that way, a whole guided focus.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And so for more information about that, visit sanghamarket.com. That's sanghamarket.com.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of practice offerings, Stop, Drop, and Text encourages mindfulness in how we do daily life. Sign up now for the next session starting September 15th.
Mm-hmm.
There are a limited number of spaces in the program, and they are filled on a first-come, first-served basis.
All right.
And to experience the power of practice, join Sherry and Ashwini for a workshop on Sunday, August 30th in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
That would be this Sunday coming up.
It would be, wouldn't it?
Yes, it is.
I'll tell you, it's a fast life around practice, isn't it?
Yeah. It is.
Mm-hmm.
And as Jerry and Jen were just telling us, a new two-week Doc and Tell recording and listening intensive is set to begin on September 14th. And participants will use their recorders to strengthen the skill of redirecting the attention to this here now.
Mm-hmm. Something for everybody, huh? And a lot of things for those people who like to do a lot of things at the same time. You could have a lot of practice offerings going on simultaneously.
Yes, yes. That smartphone is going to be beeping and buzzing and
yeah, heating up.
Yes. And so for these and all other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And our reminders today, if you'd like to talk with Sherry, you can make a show by pressing star 6 and then 1. And a focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes would be super helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tend to go on. So if other people could watch the time and monitor us, I would really appreciate that. Give us a chance to hear from more people.
Wonderful. Okay, mm-hmm. Here we go.
Thank you. Thanks, Michael.
Sure.
Hi. Sorry, go ahead.
Please announce yourself.
Hi, this is Pasha.
Hi, hello, Pasha.
Hi. And I have a timer. Very good.
You got your timer going?
Yes.
Okay. What's going on?
I just have a quick update to share, and I'm so grateful for so many practice opportunities and the support I'm receiving. And as you said, I feel like I'm growing to be able to take take advantage of more and more opportunities offered, and it feels to me like I'm surrounding with all this support that leaves less and less space for conditioning to go and just occupy the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, especially coming after the Visiting Monk program, which is amazing, amazing opportunity. And this has been my fourth year since I started it, and I missed only one. So I'm really hoping that will continue. And I'm planning them already a year in advance. So I'm just coming after one, and I'm sending a request if I can book my time for the next year. And what I've seen is the life kind of arranges itself around those things that are kind of booked solidly. And because I don't have any other plans yet made for the next August, it's much easier just to book them, put them in a calendar, similar to what we have with year-long retreat, when things are planned, you know, so far in advance that conditioning has no other alternative ideas. It just it just makes so much easier. And I've seen how life helps with family and job and get arrangement. Everybody knows the plan, and things just fall in place. So I'm very grateful for these opportunities, and I'm all in to take advantage as much as I can.
Good. That's great. Yeah, and I really like that, really appreciate that reminder, Pasha, because it's true that when we get it on the calendar, we don't have to look for an opportunity to fit something in. It's just there. It's on the calendar. So somebody says, well, can you blah, 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 blah. Well, no, I can't, because that time is already spoken for. I'm going to be at the monastery then, or I'm going to be on retreat then, or I'm going to be whatever it is. So it really does help, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And for me, it comes to the to our recitation of, okay, I'm just mind is blanking out how it sounds, but ending suffering is the most important thing. Then everything else can, you know, welcome to come, but, you know, on the other places, after the first most important thing is taken care of.
Yes.
So the one thing quickly to share is about like 3 years ago, I called on open air, and I just visually remember how I was in the room at my work and how struggling I was, and I was calling with this issue, you know, like, how do I like handle work in this working environment, and it's so hard, and I remember you said something like, couldn't you just be the, you know, happiest, something like happiest person you could be and the best employee you could be there? And at that time, that sounded like, wow, this is, it's such a tall order. It's so, hard to do. But nevertheless, I said, like, okay, that would be my focus. That's the thing I want to do, and I'm going to give it a try. And and it not at first, and at that time I was living for first visiting monk, and I was laid off from the work because they wouldn't be able to give a month. It was kind of new for them. But at the same time, my manager left work at the same day. So they both understand, we both understand, and that was my time, and I'm finishing. We both understand it's an environment that makes us so exhausted and it's so hard, and we all need a break. And and coming back after visiting monk, I continued that focus of, okay, I cannot do anything about the environment. I'm just focusing on how can I be happy and how can I be a best employee. And then after 3 years, I can tell you it works like magic. And,
wow.
And I really succeeded. I'm looking now at myself, at my last job. I was the happiest person. I was the best employee there. And it did work. Now I have completely different opposite experience of work. I'm going there excited. I'm kind of more present with people. I'm connecting, and it's just a light room at work, and
wow.
Which takes a big chunk of time, and it's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big. It first of all, congratulations, because mm-hmm. I know the amount of effort that it takes mm-hmm. to pull something like that off. Mm-hmm. And it's true. It's a huge part of our lives that we spend working, and we need to do it because we have these, you know, these little mouths to feed and things like that. And mm-hmm. And so to take that on, to make that kind of vow that you're going to be the happiest person there and the best employee there, and then to work to make that happen, what a blessing. What a benefit to you, first mm-hmm. of all, and then to everybody else, because everybody else is in the same boat, right?
Yes.
It's hard
yes.
for a lot of people. And so if yep. there's somebody there who's happy, who is willing to make their lives easier if it's humanly possible, is cheerful to be around, isn't draining their energy. What a gift.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And one more thing I just I learned and I just realized yesterday at the group is, you know, just before coming for this August retreat, I was fired from my job. And then I just realized it, like, wow, I was gradually sliding into another story that my happy attitude and my kind of best employee approach made me believe over time that I'm in control. I'm you know, I'm just controlling my employment. And it's the belief was reinforced by many people around, you know, like, wow, you are so happy, and wow, look, everything works, and it's great, and it's continues until it stopped, and then what I just learned is like, well, I'm still not in control, and it's not because I'm doing this. Yes, it allows me to be more present. I feel like I'm more productive. I'm more happy. But still, it doesn't mean that now I'm going to hold this job forever. So it made me lighter. I'm still the happiest person. I'm still the best employee. And I have so many other new opportunities opening up that it's not a problem, and I don't need that control to be happy. I'm just happy because you know, that's the first thing, because I can be happy, and it's not I'm happy because I have a job. It's not because I did something which made me to have a job and now I'm happy. I can just start with being happy like I did, you know, 4 years ago. I'm coming full circle, and I'm so excited to start and see new opportunities. And, thank you for that, and thank you for that practice. And it works.
That's great. That's great. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to hear that. And to be in a place where you can just be grateful and excited about what's available for you next, what's life going to offer as the next part of the adventure.
Yes, exactly. So.
All right.
Keep going. Sure. Thank you so much. I'm again sorry over my time.
All right. Thank you, Pasha. Good night.
Good night. Bye bye.
Thanks for joining us, Pasha. Sherry, I remember that conversation from 3 years ago with Pasha.
I did too. As soon as he mentioned it, I went right there.
Yep.
That is so fun.
It is so fun. To me, it's the power of practice, because I took that on as my assignment as well, to be the best, happiest employee. And that is great. You know, it's working well. It's fabulous.
Because why not? Why not? There's no reason that as soon as we get past the belief that our happiness is dependent upon circumstances, then we really get it that I'm not in control of my employer, or it doesn't mean that I'm always going to have the job, as Pasha points out, but I am in charge of my own happiness.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it is. Thank you.
Thank you. And we have another caller here.
All right, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, my name's Carol, and I'm calling from San Francisco.
Hello, Carol.
Hello.
What's going on?
Well, this is my first time calling, and I'm very nervous, and I'm just so grateful. Thank you. I'm just so grateful for this practice. I started it recently, and went to a retreat in June, and it's been something I've really applied myself to in that time. And I'm grateful for these things that pop up, and I noticed something the other day that is a process I'd like to try to talk about and see how it goes.
Okay, good.
Okay, so this has to do with what I call relationship aversion / obsession. Okay.
I can sort of get a feel for it.
Okay. So You know, I'm not young at this point, and I've kind of gone, well, okay, that just didn't happen for me. I accept that. But it's kind of a weird kind of acceptance. So I was with somebody the other day, just a fairly acquaintance man, and I started to notice, which is new for me because now I get to do that. And I started to pay attention to the rapid aversion. I took him to an event, and I lost him pretty quickly. And then I thought, well, okay, that's weird, but it's great to be able to observe it. And then I noticed, I went back and I went, did a process map, and I recognized over the decades how many times this has happened. And what it leads to is either a repulsion that happens very quickly, just barely knowing the person, or if I can stick it out for months, then to try to prove that, oh, look, I can do this. I can do this and prove to people, you know. But it's like having my skin peeled off. And
being in relationship. Is that what
you're
saying?
Yes, just being in relationship.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Even
okay.
on the slightest uh-huh. level of just barely knowing somebody or more than that. Yes.
Okay.
And I've never heard anybody talk about this. So then the other side of it is, but the duality side of it is just a hyper focus, you know, I'm gonna paint myself on their life. I'm going to make myself invaluable. And then that gets flips to the other side, and then I become repulsed. And it's like it just keeps repeating, and it's very interesting to see, but it's also very painful to recognize that it's just never, I've never broken out of this loop. And I mean, it's not so much like, oh wow, I just really hope that I get a relationship before I turn ancient, although that would be great. But it's really that this is really a deep duality loop for me, and it ripples out from there into other areas of friendships and family and that walling off.
So
let
me ask you this. So even with friendships, you'll be very drawn to the relationship, and then at a certain point it turns and you want nothing to do with the relationship.
Yes, less so with just friendships, but I do notice the pattern there too.
Uh-huh. Yes, the intensity is less with a friendship than with a romantic or an intimate relationship, but the process is the same.
Yes, and family.
And how about family? Okay. Relatives are harder, aren't they? But you can just avoid them, right? For when you're when this. How would you describe it? Isolation. You talk about it as revulsion. When that takes over, do you withdraw from everyone and everything, or is it just a particular person?
I withdraw from that person. And like this event that I went to this weekend, that I took this man with me, who I barely know, but it seemed like a nice guy. And it was an athletic event that took hours, and shortly after, I kind of walked on ahead, and it was okay. It worked out okay, but inside I knew what I was doing. And then I tried to pretend like, oh, well, let me call him on the trail. Maybe he's back a little ways. And you know, and it was just real interesting to notice that it doesn't take me very long to get to this place of, you know, hey, don't touch me, you know. And then on the other hand, I might, you know, do any number of things that are just a very intense flip side of that, depending on if they're not
uh-huh.
interested in me.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Now, so if somebody is showing interest in you, then this aversion thing tends to arise.
Yes.
Okay. If somebody is not showing interest in you, then you are more attracted to them?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay. So we can pretty much guess this is self-hatred, don't you think?
It sure seems like it.
Yes, it's the, you know, the joke that goes with it is, I don't know who, W.C. Fields or Woody Allen or Groucho Marx or whoever the heck said, I don't want to belong to a club that would have me as a member.
Right.
Yeah, and so there's that process that we can get going where if somebody is interested in me, I can do better. Okay? So the person I want is the person who doesn't want me.
Mm-hmm.
If they want me, there's clearly something wrong with them. And so I don't want somebody that there's something wrong with. So I need to get rid of them. Yeah?
Right. Right. Yeah, but you know what? The first time I noticed this was 5 years old. And so I think it's really weird that it's so old and so long and that all these decades this is repeated. And I hear people talk about, oh, yeah, and I have this relationship and we do that. And I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's just boring. I don't know what else.
Well, tell me this, Carol. What was it? What happened at age 5?
Oh, it was just the same feeling of obsession. Okay, it was with somebody on TV, but it was a 5-year-old thing that was like, well, this person can see me through the TV, and so I'm obsessed with their attention, and it, of course, screams of ego. Are they noticing me? Are they, you know, are they, am I important to them? And it's just that the power of it was strong at 5, but the content was maybe not so strong. But
well, I think I mean it's remarkable, isn't it, that it was that strong at age 5, and you can still remember it after all this time and connect it up to the experiences that you're having now, right?
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm.
It feels it feels like really, really being stuck, and it feels like it isn't so much like, oh God, I need a boyfriend. It's like there's something that is sticking me that's hanging up all the processes, and I want to be free. I don't want to make up these stories like, oh, well, you've just been attached to your career, or you're just an independent person. Well, it's fine. I mean, that sounds great, but that's not the truth.
Right, right. Okay, all right. Well, this is great. Now, this is really akin to Pasha's thing about becoming the happiest, best employee, all right, going from being completely miserable and hating his job to being the happiest, best employee. And so with this, of course, as you know, this is a process that we're dealing with, right? This is not a, you know, I'm going to have an insight about this and then it's going to be all over. This is going to be a step by step by step through it, and the process that for going through it that I would suggest is one that I've found myself talking to people a lot in this email class, which is the one that is described in great detail in the Fear Book, where a person. So I'll give you the short form. Okay, person has a fear of heights, and so. What the person does, now this is all being done in conscious, compassionate awareness, right? There's no contest to it. There's no just get this person through it no matter what. This is a process of discovery and bringing awareness to how things work. So the person who has a fear of heights, you know, it gets the whim-whams at the mere thought of going up to the top floor of a high building. And so the first step of it is you just imagine that you're going to go up to the top floor of the building. And it all starts, right? You know, your palms get sweaty and your heart starts pounding and your stomach goes however it goes and like that. And then you pay complete attention to that process. So you're watching every minute little aspect of it until there's nothing in it that you haven't seen, don't get, are not okay with, right? And when you're completely okay with that, when you can think about going up to the top of a tall building and nothing happens to you, you know, you're just, nothing happens. You're just fine with it. The sensations don't arise and you're not bothered by anything. Then you take the next step. Okay, so now I'm actually going to go to the building. Now I get to the building and there it is and it's so tall and everything starts in again, right? And so we do that just step by step by step until we've made peace with every single stage along the way. Okay?
Oh.
And so that's what you're going to take on, should you choose to, with relationships. So instead of at the first sign of it, you know, just ditch the guy on the trail somewhere, you're going to stay with it when it starts getting uncomfortable so that you can watch what's happening with you. And you're paying attention just like the person with the heights, okay, until you get completely comfortable with that. And then you take, so this might take you months, right? Could take, who knows how long it's going to take.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows how many people, right? And so the voices are going to want to come up and have opinions about that. And you're just going to note those as part of the process.
Okay. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's really exciting.
Because, it is, isn't it?
It felt like if my skin were peeled off or somebody was climbing inside of me and I couldn't be there. I couldn't stay with that. So it was, that's what it was. And so I really see where self-hate plays just a huge part in this. And
oh, yes. Jerks you to one side of it, jerks you to the other side of it, jerks you back again. Yeah, it's really taking advantage of a situation to get maximum suffering going. Yeah. So definitely it's playing a big role in this. But this started for you at age 5. So this goes back a ways, and there are a lot of players and a lot of subtleties in it, and you're going to get to see them all.
Wow.
Because the thing about it is, you know, karmic conditioning comes in and wants to frame something, make it into something, and then do a big rah-rah on it, right? And just drag you off into suffering over it. Well, look at how you are and look at what you do and what's the matter with you and you are really messed up and all of that. But the point of it is there's something going on here, right? There's a reason for this. This is not just made up. This is not just you're a messed up human being. That's not what's, there's a reason that this is happening. And we're going to find out what it is.
Oh, that's so exciting because that's, until recently, that's what it was. You're screwed up. You don't know. Just give it up. It's just that is what, how you're put on the earth to be this person over here that's just screwed up in that area. And so, and
that's right.
Now I'm starting to think that it might be a chance for to do the science experiment.
That's right. That's right. And to free her of that karma, however it plays out ultimately, she can be freed of that karma.
Great. I'm so excited.
Yeah, to me, that's what's important, and that's what's exciting about it. There's a human being trapped in suffering. We can free her. That's thrilling.
Yay. Well, that's just so great, and I'm going to break out the fear book. That's very, very great.
Okay, good. Yeah. And you already know how to process math. You know, you have a recording and listening practice?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you've got the tools you need, and now there you go. You lay out the... with the steps of the fear book, you lay out how you're going to approach this. You fill in the content of this with those steps, and you just start through them. And then you're gonna keep me informed every step of the way, right? Well, practically every step of the way. Yeah.
Yes. And thank you so much.
Oh, you are so welcome. Take good care of yourself, huh?
Okay. You have a great night. Thank you.
Thank you. I will. Good night.
Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us, Carol. Yes, it is going to be thrilling, Sherry. That was such an exciting conversation. It's great.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. You know, once we get out of that mindset that we're so conditioned to, that there's something wrong, and the something that's wrong is you, and, you know, as Carol said, so that's just how it is, and just suck it up and endure it until you die. When we realize that, no, wait a minute, no, there's a way through this. There's an answer to this puzzle, and we can find out what it is, and it's going to be enlightening and illuminating and thrilling and exciting and empowering and all of those things. And it's, you know, we rub our little paws together and away we go.
Yes, excellent. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And right now, Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, I have a message for our callers here.
Uh-huh.
And that is that the system has cleared out the queue again. There's only one person.
Oh.
So if you were in the queue, please rejoin it by pressing *6. And then 1, and then we'll be all set there.
Gosh, it's a very what would we say? A kind of a fussy little system sometimes, isn't it?
Sometimes, persnickety. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just throws everybody out with no warning.
Yes. Yes, and the one person that was in there disappeared. So, and we have several back now. So,
all right. Very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Susan from L.A.
Hi, Susan. Hey.
Hi. Hey. I usually am last, and I called in late, and then when Michael said there's one person only in the queue, I was like, I can't believe it. It's like winning the lottery or something. So it's been a while since I called, because last we talked, I was moving after being home for 33 years and made it through. And when I thought about calling, I realized I just wanted to make contact because it's been a while, and it's like the spy who comes in from the cold, sort of.
Uh-huh. Well,
and I
what's been...
Have,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, I don't have a big problem. Things are actually really good.
Oh,
and,
good.
Yeah, and it was funny because the other day, I don't know, maybe it was last week I tried, and you know, I didn't get on, but I realized just being part or even listening to the conversation, it like took me to the light room to center, just, and it didn't matter what content I had, just stopping to do that in and of itself was sort of a redeeming process. Just kind of reaching out, and then the content could be whatever it is. But I instantly felt better just picking up the phone and dialing in.
Yes, and anybody could be talking about anything. Right?
Yeah,
And it's just the process itself brings us back to center.
Yeah, because I had never really. I noticed. Oh, I feel better. Why do I feel better? I haven't said a word, and you know, people talked about different things. And I thought, oh, it doesn't matter what we're talking about. We're talking, and we're looking at it through a filter that I forget. You know, in a way of seeing and just hearing it was. It makes me a little sad. It was just calming. It was like getting in the phone booth at the Matrix or something, and dialing out. And all of a sudden, I'm in a, you know, another reality. So, So I just wanted to connect again in that way.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing that's true about that, because people often forget that what the Buddha taught is that it's possible to end suffering, and so people will be, get talked into an idea that we have to be suffering to participate, that if I don't have anything going on, then I don't, then it's not possible to participate, because what would I talk about if there weren't a problem? But of course, what we can talk about is what it's like to be in life without a problem, which is a lovely thing to talk about.
Yeah, because, you know, I talk about stuff a lot. Mostly it's just about blanks, fill in the blanks. And this is more of just an experience of something else. And I love it whenever you say at the end of the conversation, you know, there is a way to end suffering. Because until you say it, I kind of don't realize that I'm carrying that kind of unconscious belief around. And it's not always there, but when I'm really not in a good place, it's like, oh, yeah, there's no, you know, this is how it is, blah, blah, blah. And that suffering doesn't come from nowhere, that it does come from conditioning, and it is possible.
Yes, and the other thing that what you're saying reminds me of is that very often people get used to a low level of not okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it, you know, I feel okay. You know, it's not suffering, for God's sake. You know, it's, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. But we lose sight of what it feels like to be at center, to feel really good, to be really lit up and really happy, right? Mm-hmm. And that we can be there all the time.
Yeah, and that's the process. When I hear the phone calls or even get on the line, it's like, oh, good, now I'm diving into that pool.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite so important what I come up with, but I just entered into a different way of looking at the world and that experience. I don't know. I hope I'm putting words to it, but it was a really different realization for me.
Yeah. Oh, and I think it's huge. I think it's a really, really important one. It's why we're so focused all the time on getting in this conversation, right? Getting out of that other conversation, getting into this conversation. So whether I'm doing reflective listening buddies or stop, drop, text, or I'm participating in email class, or I'm participating in the radio show, or whatever it is that is taking me out of that conversation and conditioned mind and getting me here, as they were saying earlier, in a conversation with life. So the conversation with life, sometimes it doesn't have words, but an awful lot of the time it does.
Right, and the other thing I thought when you were talking is, the way I'm conditioned is it's about fixing a problem. And it's not. Mm-hmm. It's just about the process of that conversation, because there probably isn't really anything to fix to begin with. And to, to appreciate that.
Yes. Yes, that all we're trying to do is get here where there are no problems.
Yeah.
Right? So conditioning is always trying to get us to find a problem to fix, to focus on. Yes. What's wrong? So what's wrong and what's missing and what do you do? What are you gonna do about that?
And, which is exactly
when we get here, we realize, well, there isn't anything to do about anything. It's not that everything is the same. You know, we go to work, we do whatever it is that we do. We go grocery shopping and cook the food and take out the garbage and get the car serviced. And all of those things that are life, yes, we do all of those things. There just aren't any problems. And so without problems, we can be grateful, right? Instead of focusing on, oh, my God, I've got to get new tires. Oh, my God, I have a car. Instead of, right, you know, oh, God, I've got to go to work again. I have a job. And that's the difference between being out there outside of life where everything is a problem or being here inside of life where nothing is.
Exactly. And when I thought about it, I was scrambling to try to think of a problem, you know, presenting issue. And then I thought, no, I don't have to be a problem. I just want to connect and I want to be in that conversation because that's the experience I'm looking for. And I also want to give a shout out to Michael. I've been quoting him recently, not using your name, Michael, but the thought. He said, a couple of years ago, he said something talking to you in kind of pre-call conversation about the less he thinks, the better he feels. I keep hearing those words like I'm going to give it 3 or 4 thoughts and then I'm out of here. You know, like, okay, we're done. And it was when he had landed for me and I've kind of carried it. So thanks, Michael.
Yeah, so you're developing the habit of dropping out of the head and into the heart, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Good. I gave that 3 sentences. That's one over my rule. Now I'm going to get down here to how I feel about this and just be grateful and enjoy life. And, you know, when I say those things, I realize to a lot of people it can sound irresponsible, escapist, sounds like quietism, but that's not it. What we're doing is dropping into real life, out of the imaginary world of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate that so many people really deeply believe is real life, and it is not.
And the way my mind goes, and I'm in charge of it. You know, I've got to get control, figure it out, make it happen, avoid this, avoid that, versus not so much, you know. And that some way, it's like you always said, to get the tap on the shoulder, something shows up if you have a part to play. And until then, kind of just go about your business, you know.
That's right. Relax and enjoy it.
Yeah.
When you get the nod, you'll be ready because you're here. You're paying attention.
Yeah. Whoever that
is. Improv.
This is spiritual improv.
It is. That's what Zen is. Zen is spiritual improv. That's what makes it so much fun. That's what actually makes us so responsible because we're actually here and paying attention so that if we're needed, we're available. We're ready. We don't have to get ready. We're ready because we're not doing anything else.
And we notice the impulse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, that's what I notice. Oh, there's an impulse and I'm not questioning and figuring it out and seeing if it's mine, it's there, so I'll respond.
Mm-hmm.
I'll respond.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I can respond, right?
Yeah.
I'm not reacting because I wasn't here when it happened and now I'm in reacting mode. I'm here as it arises and I can respond.
Yeah, that's such a nice thought. I just thought about having this big stamp. I'm like, you know, you get tattoos, and I had one that say, I'm here.
Uh-huh.
You know, just to remember, remind myself.
Yeah,
so.
Maybe on the back of my hand.
Yeah.
Top of my foot, maybe.
Every time you look down, look up, you're here.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I just am calling in to say hi and connect and be in a different conversation, and I so appreciate that you and Michael are both there.
Good. We appreciate that you're here.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. That was a fun conversation from an old friend.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think we have time for one more caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Patty from Los Angeles.
Well, hello, Patty. We're hearing from Los Angeles tonight. Good to hear your voice. What's going on?
Well, I loved all these conversations. They're very relevant. They seem very relevant to the process that I've been looking at. And so I've been having all of these health challenges this past year, and I've been noticing this process that happens where I'll, you know, get sort of good news about something, you know, regarding my health, and conditioning will somehow turn that into something to worry about. So if it, you know, if the news is you don't have cancer, you know, then it's something that, you know, I would normally be celebrating and being really happy about, but somehow, you know, conditioning.
Well, what do you have?
Exactly. Like, gets me.
Well, if it's not cancer, my God, what is it?
Exactly. Exactly. And so I've seen this happen a bunch of times with various different content. And it's just really clear to me now that it's just ego trying to regain control of the human. Because it's been able to control me through all of the anxiety about my health.
And it wants to get control of the conversation, doesn't it?
Right. Right.
Yeah, because that's the way you can be controlled, right? If it can hook you in. Well, it's not cancer. Well, then, God, what is it? oh my God. Well, I mean, you know, you'd think cancer would be the worst that it could be. But, my God, this is something, that, and they can't even figure out what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Right? And so it, as soon as it can get your attention on that, whee!
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I've been, it's really helpful that it's happened a bunch of times because I can see that it's a process. And so what I've been practicing is really just putting my attention on, you know, celebrating the good news.
Yes.
You know, that celebrate that I have, that you know, that things are going well, that I don't have some serious disease, you know, and just really, you know, just remembering not to engage in the noodling and the conversation with conditioning.
Yeah, yeah. You know what, I want to underline, Patty, because it's classic. It's classic in the sense of it's perfection. You just said, I'm really glad that this has happened a bunch of times, so I've been able to see that it's a process. Now conditioning... It puts a lot of energy into us not being happy that something like this is happening to us over and over and over, right? That is an experience to be avoided at all costs. And yet, because you do awareness practice, you have realized that that is the key to your freedom, right? Because if that process happened to you once a year, it could go on for the rest of your life, and it could take a big chunk of your life down with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it just keeps coming up, and you keep paying attention to it, and before long you go, okay, got it. I see it. All right. Good. I'm free of that.
Yeah.
Isn't that powerful?
It is really powerful. I don't know where I would be without awareness practice through all of this.
Oh. I'm right there with you, sister. Yeah. Oh, where would we be? Where would we be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, actually, you know, it's interesting that. So I've been sort of exploring this in a kind of a psychological way as well, you know, talking it over with a therapist and stuff. And what's come up is that. There was a time in my life when I was about 11 years old when I went through a very similar thing with my health, and it was happening at a time of huge transition in my life. And I didn't have awareness practice at that time. You know, I was just trying to get through my day, you know? And it was really tough, you know, I just have so much compassion for that 11-year-old person who had to go through such a hard situation, and didn't have any of these tools and didn't feel like she has any support system. Mm-hmm. So it just makes me even more grateful for, you know, where I am now in my life.
Mm-hmm. And from that psychological perspective, does this feel like a repeat, like a kind of a karmic repeat?
There are a lot of similarities. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Time of transition?
Time of transition, a lot of karma around illness and health. Just a feeling of just needing extra support in life. You know, at that time, when I was that age, I didn't feel like I had that. But now I do. There are a lot of similarities.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like this is an opportunity to really heal a lot of those wounds.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because now you do have the skills, you do have the awareness, and you have the support. You can you can get support, and you can give support. And to take care of that that part of you at this point in life in a way that she wasn't cared for at that point, very healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually, just a few weeks ago, I think you were talking on the radio show about moving into that position of the caretaker. You know, instead of being identified with the one who's going through the situation, and it really resonated with me, because that's something that I've been trying to practice, you know, through all of this, is really being in that position of the person who is there to support and serve and assist the one who's having all of these challenges.
Yeah. Yes. 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 Oh God, it's so subtle, and it's so important, isn't it? Because you are that person, right? The one who's having the health challenges, this is going to sound stupid, but is the one who's having the health challenges. And that's not actually you. Now, you're very close to the person who's having the health challenges, but you also have a broad perspective. You're also stepped back. You have a whole, all these other aspects to your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a way of seeing a clarity, a perspective that she doesn't have, because her life experience is very specific, right? And so if you identify with her, all is lost. She's lost and you're lost, because there's no one with that larger perspective. There's no one to be the caretaker. Mm-hmm. But if you remain in that disidentified place, then you can bring all of your intelligence, your awareness, the compassion, the loving kindness, the breadth of perspective to her. Mm-hmm. And then you... Now, who the heck are you at this point? But then you get to experience all of that instead of being locked into that limited life experience of the person with all these health problems.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and what I just saw was it's not just the person who's locked into the health challenges, but the person who is experiencing challenges all over the place, you know, not just with health. but with anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
I mean, it really can be, it's like so universal. It can just be applied in such a broad way.
Yes. And what we want to be is the loving kindness and compassion, the wisdom, love, and compassion that can embrace a person, no matter what that person is experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what we have. You know, mm-hmm. that's what we have. So, you know, sort of at the end of the day, you get to have the good feeling of being there to care for somebody who needs you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It feels really good just hearing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a much happier place to live, certainly, for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Because she would be lost without you being in that place.
Mm-hmm.
And you would be lost if there were only her.
Yeah, right. I would be lost mm-hmm. in that hateful conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it is the process of becoming the Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what we're talking about. I mean, that sounds very big, and actually it is very big. When we talk mm-hmm. about saving all beings, working out your own salvation diligently, there you have it, right? There's a human being who needs to be saved. If we identify with that human being, there is no salvation. If we step into that larger place, into that wisdom, love, and compassion, then that human being can be saved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I see that I think we're over our time, but thank you so much.
Oh,
I'm
thank
very,
you.
Very grateful.
Yeah, me too. Me too, Patty. Yeah. Take care
right.
of her, huh? And
I
you.
I will.
All right, I know you will.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Patty. And wow. Wow. What a fabulous show and conversation and super-duper helpful.
Mm-hmm. No, I just
yeah.
love practice. Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's great.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir. Okay, talk to you soon. Good night.
Okay, good night.